Hello and welcome to episode number 67 of the Web 2.0 show. I'm your host, Adam Stukoviak. Today we're going to talk with the founder and CEO of Hootsuite. His name is Ryan Holmes. For those of you who are not familiar with Hootsuite, Hootsuite is an awesome Twitter client. It integrates with Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and many more via ping.fm. They launched back in late 2008 and have become one of the most popular Twitter clients out there. And I have to say, I am completely in love with Hootsuite. It's just an awesome tool. Before we go on to the interview, I have a couple of announcements I want to make. The first is, I just partnered with Grasshopper to make this happen, and huge thanks goes out to David, C-Mac, and Jonathan over at Grasshopper, as well as their team, just a fantastic team over there. If you're not familiar with Grasshopper, go to grasshopper.com to learn more, or go back and listen to episode number 61, I interviewed David and Jonathan. Great interview. We just launched a brand new segment of the Web 2.0 show called Pitch the Show. We get so many emails and requests to come into the show, for people to get on the show, so we launched Pitch the Show to give anyone a chance to call us and pitch their business for a chance to be featured on the show. All you have to do is call 1-888-WEB20SHOW and give us your best 90-second pitch about your business. Each month, myself, C-Mac, David, and Jonathan will select two pitches of the many we receive, and these two businesses will go on to be featured on a special monthly episode of the Web 2.0 show. How cool is that? Not only will this be a great exercise for them in pitching their business to people, they will also get exposure to us, the judging panel, you, the listeners, and thank you so much for listening, as well as the special guests that we have on the show. To learn more, head to web20show.com/pitch. The second announcement I have is we just launched a brand new redesign of the site. Super excited about it. Much more polished, a lot more fresh, very easy to navigate. Longer headlines, more editorial content, the archives are easier to scan and access, and now you can actually download the MP3 of the podcast, not just play it on the website. If you're not following me, and you're not following the show on Twitter, go to twitter.com/AdamSTAC or WEB20SHOW and hit the follow button. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show. I'm here with Ryan Holmes. Ryan is the founder and CEO of Hootsuite. Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
No problem at all. Hey, so I understand you do something pretty cool with social media. You're building this social media dashboard called Hootsuite. Can you kind of talk about who you are and what you're doing at Hootsuite?
Sure. I'm the CEO of Hootsuite, and Hootsuite is a dashboard for social media. It basically lets you incorporate Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn into a single dashboard so that you can keep track of multiple accounts. We have functionality for teams so that you can have multiple team members working on a single Twitter account or multiple Twitter accounts together. We have analytics built in so you can see the success of the messages you're sending out on Facebook, Twitter, etc. And just basically a really comprehensive solution for social media professionals in small, medium, and enterprise environments.
Very cool. So this isn't actually your first trend down the social media or the media path in general. So you've got another interactive agency that sort of stemmed from this beforehand called Invoke. Does that kind of play into, you know, to come into the social media dashboard space?
Sure. Yeah, I can give you a little background of how we arrived at Hootsuite. The parent company that built out Hootsuite is called, as you mentioned, Invoke. It's a company I founded in 2000, and we've done traditionally a lot of services work in web, and you know, kind of covering the full gamut of development, and did a lot of social media and search marketing. Over the past 4 years, we've built out a few products. One of the products is called Meme Labs, and that's a video contesting platform. It does actually video, image, and essay-based contesting. We work with a lot of brands like Wells Fargo, Gap, Transworld, Jim Beam, etc., helping them get better engagement online and through contesting. So we've had a lot of great success with that, and we through the campaigns that we've done usually incorporate a social media component, so helping drive traffic to the campaign. What we found when our team was working on these campaigns is there wasn't really a good tool for them to manage multiple accounts and get analytics, etc. And so that was really the inception of Hootsuite, and we built that our tool out of the agency, and we've had some really great success since. We've got just crossed over 400,000 users on the product, and a lot of Fortune 500 brands, and also just a lot of great power Twitter users and power social media managers having fun with it.
So did I hear that correctly? This started out as an internal project to use for you and your clients first, and then you got the right idea of opening it up to everybody else, or?
Yeah, well, we built it. I mean, with the goal of releasing it out and seeing what kind of adoption it would have, but as a tool for our internal needs, but definitely is something that other people could use as well, and. It had a really great pickup from the very beginning.
I have to say that I'm actually, one of those 400,000 users you just mentioned. Coming from the experience of way back in the day using Twitterific, which was, super awesome at first, I think Twitter as its own thing sort of evolved, and with it, the way we all connected with our social media platforms, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, heaven forbid, MySpace or something else like that, there's always some sort of status message has sort of jumped into the play here, but you've gone through all these different gamuts of various types of Twitter clients. So was the original idea to start with Twitter and branch out, or did you have the idea of being the social media dashboard?
We initially started with Twitter, but it became apparent fairly quickly that for our team's needs and my personal needs and our users' needs, we wanted to give people a tool to manage all of their needs from a single dashboard. And it wasn't really going to be very productive if people have to bounce out all the time to go handle other other social media channels. And so we just looked at incorporating into the tool. More functionality that just makes our lives easier and hopefully the lives of our users.
So you were one of the first to start integrating other networks into Hootsuite and to become this social media dashboard. There's tons of other clients out there. We can name names if we want to, but I don't think it's really important. I think everybody's pretty well-versed in this space, but I think Hootsuite definitely has the right tools and the right features in place to go and be one of the true leaders, which you probably already are. But how do you differentiate against these other competitors? And, what's your outlook on, say, like CodeSuite or Evius, even previous incarnations like Brightkite? That's a joke, by the way.
Well, I guess I'll give everybody a little background on Brightkite. That is actually our former product name. So you'd have to be a really early user to know that. So I guess you got in early, Adam. So the question was, how do we differentiate from some of the other products? I think our core functionality, some of the pieces that differentiate us are around our analytics. So we own our own URL shortener. It's called Owly, OW.ly, which is a very short URL. We, in owning that URL, can get a lot more information for our users and expose a lot more. Right now, we have some pretty basic but very useful analytics, and as time progresses, we're definitely looking at what other types of functionality we can incorporate in and expose from our analytics. I mentioned the team workflow. That's something that there's not really anybody else doing it in the space, and we something that we do really well. We have a lot of thought on that coming ahead, and we're going to be pushing that a lot further. Also our tweet scheduling has been really well received. So we allow for scheduling of messages, RSS integration. And we recently launched our iPhone app, which will be very closely followed by an Android app. And we are also looking at BlackBerry as well. So, within the year end, we're going to have the full mobile suite. allowing managers and people in social media to send out from multiple channels wherever they are, you know, if they're mobile or if they're at their desktop, they'll be able to send out messages. So that's kind of, you know, a couple things that are coming up and also what just differentiates us in the marketplace right now.
So I guess it should be mentioned that, you know, first, I'm not sure if you mentioned it earlier, but Hootsuite is right now, the core component of it is a web application. So you go to a URL, you open your browser, that's where you go to it. You don't open a client.
Right. That's true. And you know, there are a ton of benefits for our users with that. We do have at hootsuite.com/apps, we do have some desktop installations using Fluid and Prism that give you a more of a desktop type experience. But yeah, we're a web-based app, and I guess for people that don't really know the benefits of that, it's always synced up. So your account, if you use a different computer, all your settings are all there. So that's a really nice benefit. It's very light on your computer resources, so you don't have memory hogging issues or crashing that happens with some of the Air clients. And we see a lot of people coming over because of that. And also in enterprise, there's no firewall or installation issues with that. All you need is a web accessible browser, and you don't really need to install any files. So a lot of good benefits working with a web-based client.
I think one of the – you mentioned it there. I didn't really think about it as a feature until you just said that, but it did always aggravate me that I would use Tweety on my desktop because I'm a Mac user. So I would use Tweety on the desktop because I like that interface, and I still go back to it here and there, even though Hootsuite does have the same features or similar features. Sometimes I just kind of bounce back and forth a little bit, but we got a dog?
Yeah, there's a dog visiting at the office today. Yeah.
Awesome. It's always good to have a fun mascot, right?
Yeah. She gets along well with the owl.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So what I always hated was when I would go from Tweety back to, say, my iPhone app, and on the iPhone I would use TweetDeck, and it was refreshing to hear that you say that you're going to come out with an iPhone app soon enough, so I'm really –
Oh, actually, our iPhone app is already launched.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Why don't I use it?
Well, we should get you on it. If you remind me, I will send out a couple free codes for you, and maybe you can think of some type of giveaway for some of your users that you can give them some installs of the iPhone app as well.
Yeah, awesome. That would be great. Yeah, I didn't even know that, and I guess I probably should have, because now that I look at my Hootsuite, isn't down in the bottom right-hand corner, isn't there a mention of an iPhone app?
There is, yeah.
So I guess it just goes to show you how those ads are just glazed over, right?
Well, those are you know, we just to clarify, we don't have any advertising in the
ad. Sorry, yeah, that's not ads. It's just, it's like information.
Yeah,
it's information.
Yeah. But the launch was really successful. We went to number one in the category, social media, in the iPhone store. We were number 13 in Canada, 16 in Japan, and 34 overall for paid apps in the iTunes store. So Pretty successful launch, and we've seen really great traction since then.
Jeez, I really wish I had gotten on the newscast for that one. I didn't see any announcements. Maybe I just don't. I'm probably just too busy is the thing. It's not your fault. It's probably mine.
Too busy. We were pretty loud on it, but you know, you can't be 100% on everybody.
That's true. The point I was trying to make there, though, with using Tweety and going back to TweetDeck on the iPhone was that it was just what you said. I would, you know, you almost get into that email kind of scenario where you would read an email on one client, then you go to another client and look at it, and it would say it's unread. So there was no connection between those two. So that's really refreshing to hear that, you know, if I can go from the web suite, which I'll use on my desktop, to my iPhone, that it'll recognize that I've already read it and it will be in sync. That's awesome. That's really a nice feature, and probably an underappreciated feature, if anything.
Right. Yeah. It had great response.
One question I have, though, on you'd mentioned your short URL service, ow.ly, Owly, and you know, I'm actually not that I'm against using Owly. I just have so many links already in Bitly that I feel kind of connected to it, and I kind of just feel like, man, I don't really want to abandon it. Do you have integration for other analytics packages, like into their API, and, you know, kind of leverage some of the APIs that are available to other shorteners out there?
Yeah, at this point, we actually don't. We've just kind of been focused on providing the analytics via Owly at this point. In terms of our development features and how we build out functionality for the system and how we prioritize, it's kind of a combination of we use get satisfaction. So we have a lot of requests from our users come through get satisfaction. We try to direct people over there if they've got feature requests or ideas of functionality they'd like to see. We also look at our roadmap in terms of what we need to get done as a business and just kind of balance the two out. And I think we've had really good success with that to date, and our users seem pretty happy with what we've released so far.
Did you actually say yes or no?
I did say no.
Okay.
Yeah, no. To date, there's no integration of other shorteners.
We talked earlier about, just very, very briefly, we talked about this thing called, this previous incarnation of Hootsuite called BrightKit. Now, it was out there, it was well established, and then you had a pullback. What was involved with that pullback? Why the rebrand, and what was involved with that?
Well, actually, that was it was a very easy pullback for us. So the Bright Kite people were actually had an application built out. They were in the market for I think maybe a little bit before us, and they had some concerns around it. We weren't very far into our product at that point, and we didn't have a lot of brand equity built up around it. So we just decided to be, good neighbors on it and worked on rebranding. And honestly, it was one of the best decisions we've ever made. I think our new branding really it worked really well. We put out to our users, we crowdsourced our rebranding, and we had one of our users came up with the name. And one of the criteria, of course, was that it was an available .com. And so somebody came up with it, and we really were happy with it. It's been great ever since.
It's funny you mention crowdsourcing. So, I mean, so many things happen nowadays by, using the power of the crowd. I mean, I can't recall the exact episode number it was. I think it was maybe episode 59 of the Web 2.0 show. Are you a fan of Groupon.com?
I am not familiar with it.
Okay, so I think that's – it might be because you're in Canada, and that might be why. And I think they're actually spreading out internationally soon enough, but they did start out in Chicago and branched out from there as success got to them. But Groupon.com, they basically leverage the buying power of the crowd.
Right.
So it's kind of wild that you mentioned that you took the rebranding efforts out to the crowd. So can you tell me about that? What were some of the details involved with crowdsourcing a rebrand?
Well, it was fairly easy for us. I mean, the first thing you need is a megaphone or a communication channel to get – to communicate out that you need to do something and what you're going to be crowdsourcing. I mean, from our Meme Labs experience, Meme Labs, the contest platform, is all about user-generated content. And so, we have some great experience with that. And I guess coming to this issue that we had, the new naming of Hootsuite, we looked at our user base. We had about 100,000 followers on our Twitter account. And so we thought that would be the best way. Like, let's take it to Twitter and let's rename off of Twitter. So we put a little blog post together that explained it in further detail. But basically the criteria around it were that it would be an available.com domain name. And that was really our only limitation. And we put it out to our users. We had them put their they deed us their suggestions, so direct message through Twitter, because we didn't want people to put up great names and then them to get scooped up by somebody that was kind of following what we were
right,
doing.
Right, exactly.
So we kept a big list of names, and we had probably, I think, 200-300 submissions from our users. So there's a lot of interest raised around it, a lot of good buzz. And at the end of the day, the person that did come up with a winning suggestion, I believe he worked for a nonprofit, and I think we put up a $500 bounty for it. Really nice guy, and I think he ended up just directing his winnings to the nonprofit. So, you know, it's all around a pretty nice story.
Going back to having competitors in the space and what differentiates you, you know, a lot of the things you mentioned that differentiate you are just features, not so much, like sometimes you hear things like service or level of support, and right now the application is paid, and what, from what I understand, it's going to be sometime in the future it will become a paid level service. So I'm just curious where, if the differentiator is only features, what else is there that we missed?
So yeah, just to clarify, right now the application's free, and in the future we're looking at different ways of monetizing. We may head towards paid plans. If we do head that way, our goal is to keep it very reasonably priced. We want it to be affordable for anybody in social media, even on a discretionary level. So we're talking like sub $100. And if we do go to monetization, the majority of our users, like 90%, 95%, will be able to use our free version. So we will have free as a component of it. So if we go with the gold, silver, bronze, we'll also have a free level that 90% of our users will be able to utilize. I think that's an important part just of keeping vibrancy in our user base and our ecosystem. And you know, for the paid users, they're going to be getting other functionality. You mentioned support, SLAs. We're looking at all of these things. If we do go this way, then that will be definitely part of the mix that people will be able to have those features. We're looking at increased analytics. We're looking at, you know, addition of features, not just removal of functionality for unpaid accounts. So we have a lot of interesting stuff in our roadmap that we're really excited to get out there.
Gotcha. I guess that kind of leverages the fact that whenever you mention Hootsuite, what usually follows just after that is it's the professional Twitter client. So the SLAs and even a lightweight paid version of it still grants you some very professional level type of features, I guess, that they come welcome when you pay for an app, right?
Yeah, we've had users ask us how they can pay. They're asking us when we're going to pay because they want to help support us. And so I really, you know, am warmed when I hear that. It's a very nice thing to hear, you know, being at the head of a company that is, you know, experimenting with their business model, that we have such a great user base and fan base that, you know, people want to help us succeed and they see that much value in the tool. So
it's always great whenever your users say, how can I pay you for what you're giving me? Isn't that nice?
It is nice. It's very refreshing. You know, I can never hear it enough.
Well, since we're on the subject of getting paid and whatnot, why did you launch Hootsuite free?
Well, to start off with, we wanted to see what kind of adoption we get. I think it was, you know, we could have focused our development hours on building out, you know, payment systems, et cetera. But we decided to spend our time on building out functionality that users needed. And at the end of the day, it's a very competitive client space. Like you see, we mentioned, you know, there's a lot of clients in the space. I think over the next year, the market shares are going to kind of firm up and people will, you know, we're seeing a bit of a leveling off in Twitter usage. As we move ahead, I think that it was more important for us to get a nice user base over monetizing out of the gates. And so, you know, we'll look at that in the future. We recently did a raise and a round of capital. And so it's not a really pressing thing for us to do at this point, but it's something that's definitely a goal of ours within the year.
That's a nice segue, because that was actually where I wanted to go. Was I wanted to sort of veer away from the tool itself and kind of talk a little bit about business and business level things that you've done to get all of your companies, not just Hootsuite, into where it's at. So you'd mentioned raising some money. So recently, well, it was like 7-10 days ago, on a Saturday actually at 8 a.m., I heard the announcement that you guys received $1.9 million in a Series A funding.
That's true. We over the Christmas break, and it's something I've been working on for the last year, but over the Christmas break, we finalized our financing. We have some really good partners that came on board. Hearst Interactive out of New York and Bloomberg Capital out of San Francisco. They're very bullish on this space. They think there's a really great future in it, as do we. And they were willing to put their money where their minds are on it. And so, yeah, we're really excited to have them on board.
So what is involved with, like, how do you go up? Were they personal friends of yours? Did you get referred? Did they seek you out? Did you seek them out? What's involved with taking a free application like Hootsuite that's been out for how long? How long has actually Hootsuite been?
We just had our year anniversary, first year anniversary in December. So we're a year and 2 months at this point.
Okay, so how do you get to a year and 2 months with a free application? Obviously, it's kicking ass. I mean, let's not forget that. I mean, it's doing some good stuff and it's solving some major problems with the Twitter client space and the social media dashboard space. But how do you seek out this kind of funding, and what does that do for you to take you forward to your goals?
So, yeah, I mean, the funding process is an interesting one. You know, we were approached by several VCs, and also just through networking and talking with other entrepreneurs, was introduced to different VCs. We spent quite a bit of time meeting with different groups, talking with them about our vision. So the first step for any entrepreneur is just kind of putting together your plan. Like, what is your vision for the product? Where is it going? What kind of proof points do you have? How are you going to monetize? All these things kind of all come together, and there's quite a few templates out there that can help you with that, putting together your plan. And then, you know, just getting on the road and meeting a lot of people. I actually found the process really to be quite good. You're meeting up with VCs, venture capitalists, that all they do is listen to people's ideas every day. And a lot of them, you know, for the most part, are very smart people that have good feedback, interesting feedback and interesting insight. I learned quite a bit out of the process and found it to be pretty valuable.
Did you go through any sort of process where you were actually practicing like your 90-second pitch and standing in front of the VCs or even a few people, even if it's just sort of informal, not like a board of directors meeting where it's very maybe kind of scary or something like that? But did you do any pitching at all involved in that? VC process?
Yeah, I didn't do any practice pitching. I built up my deck, and you know how I think about it, you know, to make me feel more comfortable is I just think about it as a story, and I'm telling my story. And so, that's effectively how I frame it. And I tell the VCs about, you know, where I've come from, what we've been doing as a company, what we've built up, why we're here, and why we think it's important, and how we want to move it ahead. And that's really the story that you got to tell. And so, you know, anybody getting into the space, I think if they're looking at trying to raise some money around a project, that might be a good way for them to, a good lens for them to think about it in.
Do you think that this VC funding right now was needed? I mean, it's probably, I'm not sure if it's a good question to ask, but there's two sides of the fence when you talk about VC funding. There's people who are completely against it just for their own reasons, and maybe it's just because there's a bandwagon to jump on to say that VC funding is bad to take if you're an entrepreneur trying to get somewhere and to not give away too much of your company soon. But there's also a frame of mind that, you know, do kind of what you've done, which is get it out there on the cheap, do whatever you got to do to get out there, prove the concept, and then once you've got a good stake and you can say, this is how big I can be, this is where I want to go with it, do you want to get involved? You know, do you think that it was required for you to take VC funding to go where you want to go?
There are a bunch of different schools of thoughts around this, but at the point where we took it on, it was a welcome thing. I mean, we've been working, we've got a team, Invoke has a team of 23 people. We've been working on this product with about one third of that team for over a year. So, you know, it's an expensive undertaking. So, you know, we may have been able to take it to monetization down the road and just kept bootstrapping it, you know, with our own resources. But, you know, that would have been a lot bigger of a risk. So we mitigated some of our risk by taking the funding on. As well, you know, in taking on these partners, they are partners that are working for you as well. You know, it's their investment and they've got skin in the game. So, you know, I think the other way to think about it is that they're going to be out there helping evangelize, helping make connections, you know, maybe one day helping with the exit if you do an acquisition or a sale of the company. So, you know, it's not all just, you know, a fat cat sitting back on his desk, smoking a big cigar, waiting for you to make them money. They, you know, are working for you a bit as well.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think that sometimes we have misconceptions on what VC funding really is. And I, you know, I can't agree with you more that taking on a partner that gives you money, let's say in your case, a Series A investment that's $1.9 million and takes your company to the next level. That doesn't mean they're just giving you money and saying, go make me famous and go make lots of money. You know, they've got their own connections. They're actually bringing their own skin in the game, like you'd said, and they're going to work probably just as hard as you are, but on a different side of the fence, doing very different jobs that let you focus on doing the application, doing the real meat and potatoes is going to make it a success.
I agree.
I'm glad you do. Let's veer away for a second and, I appreciate your sharing the knowledge on how to approach VCs and how to this whole scenario with you. I think it certainly is an experience to go through, and you do weigh your risk with where you want to take your company in the future. And sometimes to get there with less risk or in a more secure fashion, you have to take on funding, and it just makes sense. So I guess the takeaway then is to weigh your options, look at the scenario, and see if it really makes a fit, but make the choice for the future to reduce your risk and potentially gain a partner who's going to be just as excited about what you're doing as you are.
That sounds like a really good takeaway. Couldn't have said it better.
Awesome. So let's talk about technology for a second. Hootsuite is a web application. So what is it behind Hootsuite that makes it what it is technology-wise?
So Hootsuite is built on a LAMP stack, so Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP. We use Amazon EC2 for hosting and S3 for some of our content. We use Zend framework, and on the front side, it's pretty Ajax-y, so you have a lot of people call it 2.0, web 2.0 type functionality, drag and drop type stuff that lets it have a real kind of native desktop type feel to it.
And were you very versed in what the prototype looked like? And do you have any sort of fun stories about the prototype stage to, you know, did you take the best, the minimum viable products approach towards it and get it there and launch it internally, like you said before?
Yeah, we took a fairly minimalist approach, got a good 1.0 version out, stable. It did everything we needed it to do at that point. We wireframed it, of course, first off, and then we kind of thought about how our process and workflow was going to be with it. Our 2.0 release, which was in September of 2009, was a pretty big success. We basically in our release gave people the ability to upgrade to the 2.0 version. Had a lot of buzz around it. We trended on Twitter for it, and it was just a really successful launch. In that release, we did a lot of things with the giving users the ability to set up columns to be able to drag stuff around, just be able to create a more organic desktop experience so that any user could really set it up how they wanted to use it or team. So, you know, our philosophy on this is that There's not going to be any one interface that works for everybody. And so we let people change around the interface and change around columns and views to meet their organization and team's needs.
And that's one of the fun things that I like about it as well, is that it doesn't fit me into one style of UI. I guess the style stays the same, but the layout does. I do have some ability to change that, add tabs, even change the frequency in which those tabs update. And you know, I like the fact that I can have one tab, but have like I have three or four different Twitter profiles in my Hootsuite account, and I'm able to see all of them on one tab, but have another tab for other, you know, unique scenarios or certain types of setups where I just want to look at direct messages, or I just want to look at, you know, sent and received direct messages, kind of like an email client almost, you know, just right there in Hootsuite. So it's very palatable to let you swap those things out. I have to say that I'm very curious what I think that you're probably one of the only people that I know of, one of the only Twitter clients that I know of that does scheduling well. What thought went into that process, and what makes it happen?
Well, it's a pretty technically interesting piece. You know, we have scheduling both in the dashboard and on our iPhone app as well. It's a really well received piece by our users, and we think it's important. You know, along with, we do RSS tweets as well. So if you have a blog, you can send out tweets from your blog every time your RSS feed updates. It'll automatically tweet out. So those two features are, you know, very important for our users. As I mentioned, scheduling on the iPhone, scheduling in the dashboard, and we let you pick times, you know, at any point in the future that you're going to be able to have your messages automatically go out. We see a lot of people doing really fun stuff with that. You know, see a lot of tweets because we monitor our brand name with using Hootsuite, so we can see a lot of people. We'll make little mentions like, I'm probably asleep right now, but you'll be reading this because it's scheduled in Hootsuite, and we'll see that kind of pop up. And we see a lot of people just having fun with it and playing around with that feature.
Yeah, I sometimes do a little bit of scheduling, only because I know that I'm going to be tied up between a certain time frame, and I know that I still want to communicate to, let's say, a certain time zone or a certain type of audience that's available around a certain time frame. So I'll queue up. There's still natural tweets for me. It just happens to be scheduled.
Right. You know, and the other use for it is, you know, we'll often see people that are really super sharers, and they'll be liking it because they can kind of maintain, you know, if they run across a bunch of really interesting links, instead of flooding all their users, they can kind of queue it up a bit. Instead of flooding their followers, they can kind of queue it up a bit. And so it's a little bit better received that way by their followers. Instead of, you know, we'll often see, again, with our brand monitoring, we'll see somebody say, hey buddy, can you schedule some tweets using Hootsuite because you're flooding my stream, and so you know that gets them kind of started on down our path.
That's awesome. And what about the RSS tweeting? I think the thing that I see lacking right now, at least from my usage of it, is control. I feel like I can't control what happens on when those items come into Hootsuite from my RSS feed. I feel like there's a little lack of control there. What's the plan with that feature, and where did that come about?
Yeah, so right now we let people input up to 10 RSS feeds from different sources. It's we're not sure how much further we're going to take it. It's a fairly complicated process, and so I hear what you're saying. It just automatically sends out tweets based on a few criteria. You can do a couple of things with it in terms of like scheduling or number of tweets that we'll send out, and we're definitely improving that functionality. I'm not sure how far we're going to take it, but we do have some improvements coming up in a future release.
Well, I would, if you want to take my opinion back to the dev team and back to the overall, product development team, is that I think that is actually a pretty core component to allowing you to bring in, you know, what should be tweets, but in a very unique fashion. And maybe that's something you could put on the back burner, but, you know, put it back on the back burner until you get paid accounts in place and make that a paid feature. Because if there's more, I know there's lots of resources involved in doing that, You know, you're looking at the feed, you're doing lots of different timestamp checkings, you could be looking at a certain hashtag in that incoming message and whatnot. So there's lots of decisions to be made there, and there's lots of ways you could take it. But I personally feel that's a very strong feature that should be looked at.
Right. Yeah. We appreciate the thought there, and we'll think about that as we move ahead.
Cool. Before we turn into another subject, I wanted to take a quick second and actually ask you a few questions that aren't from me. They're from the Web 2.0 show's Twitter audience. First question is, when will there be a Hootsuite application for BlackBerry? That comes from Dave. I can't pronounce, I'm not sure of his last name, but it looks like it's Dave Texera.
Okay, well, thanks to Dave. That's a very popular feature request in our Get Satisfaction. We are absolutely looking at it, and I would expect people to be seeing something Q2 of this year.
All right. Someone else, Southern Mom, she doesn't actually have a question. She just wants, looks like she's pleading for Facebook to be added to the iPhone application. I guess she's pretty angry about that.
We will have a Facebook application end of January, early February. So that's definitely something that we, it's a little bit challenging with the iTunes store. You know, coming from a web environment, we want to make a change, we make a change and push it live. So with the iTunes store, we have a bit of a bottleneck there, and so we're waiting on a couple things there, but we'll have that out ASAP.
I think that's like everybody's core problem. That's not really a topic for the show, but man, I guess that's we could talk about that a little bit later, but dealing with the whole bottleneck that people deal with pushing their applications to the iPhone is the granting of access and process.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think, I'm really excited to see Google enter the market with the Android, because I think it's going to really bump up Apple's game. I think we're going to see some quicker turnaround times there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see everywhere now that that Google is Apple's newest enemy, or newest enemy. But I was in an airport when I first saw one of the very first Droid anti iPhone advertisements, and I was just like a breath of fresh air that you have this open source platform that anybody could develop against. But it definitely has a lot of things that go that are negative about it too. That there's, when you have an iPhone, you have an iPhone. It's an iPhone. When you have something that's on Android, like the Droid, or various other blends of it, like the Nexus One and stuff like that, you can't really pigeonhole what that software is going to run on. So you have a lot of more variables to deal with. And
yeah,
I mean, that's the downfall of that platform, really.
It can be. I mean, it's
like Windows all over again. It's Windows versus Mac OS X. Consistent platform, and I think that's going to be a hard hurdle to jump over. But I definitely appreciate and encourage Google to keep pushing forward, because anything that Apple needs right now is sheer brute force competition, and I think Google is a definite contender. A fellow named Florist, he actually has a question about the business features. We probably covered some of them, but if you want to quickly hash over, he says, if you're going to offer any more business features and or paid features in general.
Yeah, we are. We have a ton of features in the roadmap. I think the specific things to look for will be around analytics, as I mentioned, team workflow, and some other items in that space.
And we have one last question from JB Marvich, and he seems like a brand evangelist, or he seems like a strong evangelist for your brand.
Mm-hmm.
And his question is, when can he expect? Or when can we expect to see apparel with the Karate Owl?
Well, it's apparel with the Karate Owl is something we've been talking about. We have a lot of requests for T-shirts and buttons and badges. So we're looking into setting up a way that people can connect with our brand and help get the word out. So we're working on that as well.
Awesome. Can you give any advice to today's entrepreneur trying to do something what you're doing, or going down the path you're going down? Can you give today's entrepreneur any really good advice that they should follow?
Well, I don't know how good it is, but the advice I would give, and I mentioned to people, is that I would, you know, if I'm a young entrepreneur, I'd try and fail. I'd do stuff that pushes boundaries and, you know, don't be worried about failure so much. If you're young in your career, it's not a bad thing. You've got lots of time to adjust and to get back to it. So that'd be one piece of advice. I also, get people to consider partnering early. So, it was a few years until I took on some partners, with Invoke, and, the experience was, in my experience, was very good. I know other people have horror stories, but I would consider doing that at an earlier age. You know, going at your own is can be tough and challenging. And if you can find partners that fill some of the holes that you have as a person or a business person, then it can be very valuable. So those are two things that I would recommend people think about.
Yeah, I hear a lot. I hear that one a lot, which is fail often, or I guess fail early, and not so much maybe often, but you know, from every failure you gain something from it. And partnering, and yeah, there have been horror stories out there with partnering, and actually, a podcast that will go just before this one of yours should be episode 66 of the Web 2.0 show with Mike McDermott. He talks a lot in that episode about he evangelizes on partnering and how to partner and ways to go about it. You can actually go to my good friends at Less Everything. They have a blog. You can go to b.lesseverything.com. And I think it's the most recent post. You can actually see Mike at their recent conference called LessConf down there in Jacksonville, Florida, this past October. And Mike gave a very good presentation on how to start a web app business. And a lot of that comes from talking about how to partner and what you look for in a partner. And there's so much that goes in that, and like you said, there's horror stories, so please do yourself some research before you just up and partner with somebody. Make it like a marriage, date for a bit, and don't jump into bed the first night. That's my advice back from your advice.
That's good advice. Those are good additions to it.
Awesome. One other question I have for you is, this is always my favorite, especially if you have some good nuggets to share, but I know the audience is probably on the edge of their seat thinking, you know, this is Hootsuite. They just got some funding, you know, last month. You know, where are they going? What are they doing? What is on the very near horizon for you? What is something super secret about Hootsuite or Invoke or something you're working with that is going to get people super jazzed about what you're doing?
Well, I guess I, you know, kind of already spilled the beans a bit on the BlackBerry app. I haven't really talked a lot about that, but it's something we're pretty excited about. We got a lot of users that are really looking forward to that. We're also, you know, we have two big releases coming up in both February and March. February release is going to have a lot of focus around user friend and follower management, and that's one of our biggest requested features. So we're really excited to get that out. Our March announcement is going to be something in conjunction with Twitter, and I'm going to leave that one for a little bit just because we got a little blackout, but there'll be some really good news coming up around that as well.
Wow, okay. That's definitely heavy hitting. I like the feature from February that you're going to announce about the friend-follower stuff. I know that I personally have been putting my own two cents out there on my tweet stream about how I need to have a better tool in place to manage and my followers and followings, so...
Yeah, I'm really excited to get this out. We've done some pretty innovative stuff there, and I think we've definitely taken raised the bar there for friend follower management, and looking forward to the response from our users.
And what did you? I didn't quite catch it. It was a little unclear what you said about Twitter. Could you re-say that again? Because I didn't quite catch it very closely.
Sure. Yeah, we'll have a March release that will have some pretty exciting features, it's going to be a joint release with Twitter. So we're in a bit of a blackout on that right now, but there'll be some announcements both from Twitter corporate and from us on that.
Very cool. Very cool. That's awesome. On the one quick tidbit before we move on the friend followings, is it going to be anything like? Because I'm a big fan of TweetBlocker, which was developed by a company out of Jacksonville, Florida called HashRocket. Good friends with Obi and their team. Awesome team. Awesome Rails developers. But they had this really cool tool. I use it now. But is it anything like that? Are you familiar with that tool?
I'm not familiar with it, but I'm gonna check it out after this call.
Awesome. I think that's pretty much all I wanted to ask you. I think that pretty much covers the full gamut. I mean, you've certainly had a nice road that you've been down the landscape of the social media dashboard wherever it goes. I certainly see you at the forefront of it. Glad to see you guys got some funding and some money behind you, only to power this even further. And I look forward to the more professional features we talked about today, and you know, maybe even the paid version of it, because it's always good to pay for good applications and awesome customer service and just great applications like Hootsuite. So, Ryan, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today. I'm sure it was sure everybody's going to take lots away from it.
Well, I appreciate having me on, and I'll look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Web 2.0 Show. Be sure to check out web2oshow.com for links in the show notes or to leave a comment on the show. Thanks for listening.